Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we'll be jumping into Acts chapter 9. Doesn't everyone like a good redemption story? With the success of the Star Wars franchise, it would seem so, because Star Wars is really a cleverly disguised redemption story masquerading as a space opera. Do you remember what you felt when Darth Vader grabbed the Emperor and threw him to his doom? In that moment, as Vader changes sides, the deepest part of our souls rejoice, because we, after all, are a part of the greatest redemption story ever told, our own. Well, if the Bible were Star Wars, Saul of Tarsus would be the Darth Vader of the early church, hunting down the Jedi to extinction until verse 1. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I'm Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go to the city, and you'll be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but he opened his eyes, and he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind. He did not eat or drink anything. The irony: Saul, who thought he could see everything, becomes blind. But even though he couldn't see, he heard the voice of God. And here's the irony. It was a Christian he was instructed to wait for. He needed a Christian to help him. That Christian was Ananias, and God told him that he needed to go seek Paul out. Christian, it's good to remember that sometimes God might put you around hostile people because you are a link in the chain to their salvation. Well, after some arguing with God, Ananias agrees to find Saul and pray for him. Verse 17, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. Wow, Paul is struck with blindness to show how blind he was to what God was doing, despite his incredible knowledge of the Old Testament. Until he met Jesus in a blinding flash of light and been struck blind, he realizes he's already been groping in the dark his entire life. But from here, after Paul's baptized and receives Jesus, he becomes unstoppable. Literally. I mean, Paul gets immediately busy telling others he was wrong and that Jesus was right. Verse 20, "At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished and asked, 'Isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on his name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests?' Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Messiah." At once he began to preach. Have you ever met someone who comes to Jesus all the way and doesn't do anything halfway ever again? That was always going to be Paul's story. It's who he was. So the Jews try and kill him, but they lower him out of the city in a basket, and the hunter becomes the prey. But his story isn't over. Verse 26. When he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. Pay attention to this. Barnabas is going to play a big part in Paul's life. You know how you meet someone and you don't think much of it at the time? Ask a couple how they met sometime. It's often a fluke or an accident that brings people together. But there was nothing accidental about Barnabas and Saul's friendship. God has plans for these two. They'll be future partners in crime, breaking into enemy territory and stealing souls for Jesus. But for now, Paul propels himself out onto the mission field, like all the tension and anger through the years is being transformed and harnessed into an energizing love for Christ and others, and he runs at mission with an even greater force than he stood against the church. Tracing Paul across the map of the Mediterranean is like watching an old Energizer Bunny commercial. He's still going, but the Jews want to stop him. But the apostles, feeling the heat, get him out of the kitchen and send him back home to Tarsus, Paul's home city in Turkey, to keep him from stirring things up too much and to keep him alive. And as Paul sails away from Jerusalem, verse 31 tells us the church finally gets a breather. Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace and was strengthened, living in the fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It increased in numbers. But now the story switches to Peter. Peter goes to Lydda and heals a man. Nothing new. But then the big miracle happens. Peter raises a little girl from the dead in a town called Joppa. Now that is the mother of all miracles, raising the dead. Let's become witnesses of the first time an apostle has worked the big one in verse 39. Peter went with them. And when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Peter sent them all out of the room. Then he got down on his knees and prayed. Turning toward the dead woman, he said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called for the believers, especially the widows, and presented her to them alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon. Last time, we read about the church getting a breather, but this time, Peter gets a breather. Whew, it's been a whirlwind of a chapter. With the gospel working its magic beyond Jerusalem, miracles were spreading, the gospel was spreading, and the church was spreading, and it would continue to spread throughout the entire world. For it would be here in Joppa, during Peter's brief rest, taking a nap in fact, that Peter would receive his vision of the gospel spreading to the ends of the earth. But not yet. More on that next time on our journey together through the Word.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.